Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to Total Disruption. And on behalf of my co-host, Dr. Jake Clendenning, I'd like to welcome Scott Lackey to Total Disruption. Scott, you're on Total Disruption. How are you feeling today?
Feeling awesome today, Michael, and I appreciate you having me here, and I look forward to doing this together.
Well, it's a real honor. You know, obviously these interview deals, we like to go into details about who you are to clue the audience in. I just want to let everybody know there's so much about you. We're going to put everything in the show notes. But first of all, I'd like to say thank you for your service.
Among
many things, you're an Army combat vet, right? You're a five-time Ironman athlete. You're an ungodly amount of hours training for those Ironman athletes. You're a chief sales officer. You're a speaker. You have a weekly article that goes out in a newspaper. You're an information and doing powerhouse. You've got a book coming out that we want to talk about. You've been on this planet a while. You've got an unbelievable amount of experiences. That's why I'm excited to sort of unpack some of that so we can impact people listening to this, right? Because that's the name of the game here at Disruption is we skip through the BS, get to the stuff that really matters so that somebody can kind of get that inspiration and roll. So why don't you talk to me a little bit about, you know, your service and the transition out of there. How'd you get into Ironmans? How did you get into like weekly news? How do you even do all that? Like, what are you, 109? How do you even find time to do all this stuff? Let's talk a little bit about you. Remember, your details are going to be in the show notes. But let's warm it up, man. Let her rip.
That sounds good. Yeah, you talked about or you started with the Army, and that did happen a few years ago because I'm not 18 anymore. But I did things a little differently than most people in high school. I wasn't ready to go to college, and fortunately, I discovered that my senior year, not through a decision I wanted to make. It was through a disruption in my life. My parents, my coach, my teachers were challenging me in ways that made me extremely uncomfortable. And it was a late night United States Army commercial, you may remember, that ended with Be All You Can Be. And yes. We do more before 8 a.m. than most people do all day. And when I saw that commercial for once in my life, I knew exactly where I was supposed to be and what I was supposed to do. And that was really my launch into the United States Army. And so I went to the Army first, 1st Infantry Division. I was over in Desert Shield, Desert Storm. I served in Germany for 2 years. And that was my first 4 years, you know, from 18 to 21-ish, 22, that was really course correction in my life. That the Army was a disruption for me, right? That was a course correction of sending me on a trajectory and leaving the military, starting college after the fact with this whole mentality of make it happen. And that was something, that was a gift the Army gave me. And make it happen is a wonderful skill to have, but it will take you places also you're not intended to be as much as it will solve problems that you want to solve.
Make it happen. I like that it, discomfort led you to sort of a path, right? Did you ever run into John McPhee while you were over there? Any of the sheriff of Baghdad?
No.
I mean, out of the 10 million people, did you happen to run into that guy while you were over there?
No, we were in the middle of the nowhere, as they say. If you know anything about the 1st Infantry Division, the first Gulf War, we were one of the most northern units in Kuwait. And into Iraq, not too far south of Baghdad. So we were cutting off the Republican Guard when they were trying to escape from Kuwait back into Iraq. So it wasn't long. It's not like what our troops and soldiers did in Afghanistan and most recently in Iraq. It wasn't anything compared to that. It was, you know, very short as we know from history. But the desert's the desert.
It's desert's desert. Conflict is conflict. And I like the make it happen component. Now, out of there, how do you come back into like regular life and then go into a path that is like employment and then where do the Ironmans come in? Like, where does your whole trajectory? And then let's talk a little bit about your book and right after that, because I'm interested. Yeah. If you're going to put some of this stuff into a capsule, I don't need to wade through all the other stuff you're doing. I'm going to go out and get this book, right? So. Mm-hmm. You know, let's work, man. Let's talk.
I'm glad you said that. So I'm going to answer in reverse to answer your question, right? In reverse meaning the title of the book, Wake Up to Die Again. That really has been the theme of my life is waking up. What I'm inferring is waking up to skies, right? Top of the mountain when I can see horizon to horizon. I've won the victory. I've gotten the charm. I've gotten the gold nugget, only to find out that what I thought I had was not, in fact, what I thought. And there was a collapse after the fact. And throughout my life, as I've gotten older, much like we see in the history of economic crises here in the United States, it seems like the next one is always 10x bigger than the last one, right? And that's the way it's been for me in my life. And it's not a complaint. That's just reality. There have been extraordinary disruptions in my life. And I write about them in the book, Wake Up to Die Again. And I mention that simply because how do I go through, you know, these different crises and these disruptions? I write about that in the book. And the point is not that this is a book about success. This is a book about reality. This is a book about the lives that we live every single day as men, as women, and the challenges that we face. And there aren't seven steps to how you're going to get everything you want. We're going to go through the gory details of how do you recover when these events happen, because everybody's going to have these lightning strikes in their life. And everybody's going to have to deal with them in their own way. So I don't tell you how to do it. I simply live through, relive through how I did it. And the hope is that your listeners, my readers, get something out of this that help them, you know, deal with maybe this place they feel like they're not where they're supposed to be. Or maybe there's somebody in the audience right now that they wake up every day only to die again. That's not a good thing. And we meet people like that in life.
Well, I agree with you. And just thinking through it, you hear famous life coaches and people of the like talk about modeling. And
right.
It has some merit, right? Modeling, right? Taking a framework somebody else laid down, and you're doing it by example and how you live through it. And I highly encourage people to take a look at that, because I find if I hear your story, and I'm savvy enough, I hear anybody's story, right? But I'm savvy enough and I listen, I can put myself in certain contexts and say, man, if he did it, I can do it. Correct. If he did it in a way, I can do it. He's human, I'm human. He, you know, and you're a person that puts themselves in constant with training and with the path you're on and with speaking and writing, and you're constantly challenging yourself. You're always putting yourself into positions of ridicule, positions of difficulty, whether you know it or not. And those of us that put content out there in the world to help other people, we're always subject to praise and we're always subject to criticism, right? And we do things with that impunity. Your opinion, Oscar Wilde, right? Your opinion of me is none of my business, right? And judging somebody about how they go through these times of uncertainty, your book sounds like it's empowering people to understand how to navigate that without actually telling them how to do it.
That's a pretty nail on the head. You just literally hit the nail on the head. That's the gift of the book, is that I'm not going to tell you how. I'm going to let you live. I'm going to say this. I've had many beta readers go through the book to help me understand what I wrote. I know what I wrote, but that doesn't mean that the reader feels what I wrote. So I've had every age group that you can think of, from 25 to 65, different races, different life skill sets, read the book. And the universal answer back to me is that the book has met them where they are in their life. That's the lesson they taught me, right? And you have to think about that for a minute. The book has met them right where they are in their life. If you're waking up every day just to die again, the book met you where you are, because I speak to that. If you're on the other side of that, where Michael is right now, and Michael's putting himself out there, Michael's willing to be vulnerable because he knows it's a superpower. Michael's willing to speak direct to top. If you're in that place in your life, there's lessons in there as well for where you are in your life. So it's that spectrum. And to your point, yes, I put myself in those vulnerable, those difficult situations. And again, early in my life, I found myself there. But now later in my life, I'm willing to put myself there because I know the way out, right? And I guess what I want to say specifically about knowing the way out is that emotional control, right? That's something you mentioned in a previous episode, is a competitive advantage in today's world. I just choose not to react to what's going on. I have no issue with responding. But most of the responses in my wake up to die example are responses to myself, because I care more myself about how I feel about this. Am I in alignment with this? Am I investigating this? Am I responding appropriately? Because I find if I'm in alignment, then the things around me, the people, my colleagues, my neighbors, my friends, we're going to be in alignment because I've given myself that gift, right, of being right with myself, right with breaking things down that I believe in, breaking things down that are not maybe best serving me. And so when I do those things, I get better for that. And that's what you're going to find out in an Ironman race, by the way. All right. In an Ironman race, it is going to expose your weakness, going to happen guaranteed. So if you want to subject yourself to that and exposes your weakness, if you get into that, that'll make you a better person, I'll assure you.
So why did you write this book?
Yeah, great question.
What's your end game here? What do you want to do?
It's two things. One, you won't know this until you get deep and very deep in the book. I actually started out writing the book to my wife, my son, and my daughter, because they've lived all of these victories and defeats, not all of them, most of them in my life. And they didn't know the whole story. They only knew bits and pieces of it because I withheld the entire story because I didn't talk about it. I internalized it, trying to figure these things out for myself in life. So I say in the book and is that, this is a long form story to my family that I couldn't tell over 1,000 Thanksgiving dinners, right? But you won't know that till you get deep in the book. The second reason I wrote the book is because I thought I can take my story and if I write it the right way with authenticity and vulnerability, people will read this and they're going to see themselves exactly in my story, only their circumstances will be different. And like you said earlier, if I'm willing to be transparent and vulnerable and actually sacrifice myself in the book, if I'm willing to do that, then people are going to see this as highly authentic and credible and take something from it from themselves so that they can navigate something forward in their life. That is deeply important to me through this book, not only my family and that story to my family and maybe and certainly family members yet to come. But it's also very important to me that people read this, that they're able to take something from it through authenticity and transparency, vulnerability, right, to help them get to another place that they need to be.
Can you share a small excerpt from the book or a short story from the book? You know, a few minutes worth of an encapsulation of a story, just to give people a little peek inside of what's going on.
Yeah, early in the book, by the way, there's stories about the military. There's stories about my first invention that I came up in the military that failed in college and how all that fell. But also there's another story in the book that I've been talking about recently where I invented my second invention. I actually invented a product called a childhood health passport. And we put everything into that investment. My wife, our sweat, I mean, tears, everything into that investment. My son was 2.5 years old at the time. My wife was pregnant. And our business plan was actually funded by a private equity firm for $3 million. And Michael, I hit the lottery. I mean, the American dream lottery of inventing a product, having it funded. This was going to be the carrier of my entire life. I couldn't have been more proud. Could not have been more proud. And 6 months into that investment, the private equity firm fired me and the management team, stole the business, and left me in a financial ditch to die. Right? Now, figuratively. But I'll tell you what, go home to your pregnant wife and your 2.5-year-old son and explain to them that everything we have has been eviscerated by someone they never met. That's a disruption, my friend.
That happens.
So that, it does happen. And by the way, for the audience, I'm thankful it happened because of the gifts I got with my family. I don't want to relive it, but I am absolutely thankful. So this is early in the book, Michael. This is early in the book, this story about how it happened and what I learned from it, what transformation took place, how I came out of that, how I resolved that. That's in the book. But that's in the early parts of the book. And I assure you that the water gets much deeper as you get further into the book.
Wow. I mean, I can only imagine the... that kind of stuff has happened to me. I've been there. I've made failed real estate investments to, you know, $1 million and this and that, and just the stress and the life and the, you know, you have this trajectory, right? You have this like pipe dream about how things are, and then reality comes creeping in or some unforeseen misfortune comes in or unforeseen misprepared situation pops up, because that's typically what happens, right? We always have rose-colored glasses on. We don't think about the pitfalls. The old, you don't know what you don't know. Well, $3 million is you don't know what you don't know, hurts a whole lot. And I don't, it hurts a lot. And when you, again, if I'm a parent of kids, when you're then thinking one way and then you think, and then you have to rethink another. It's funny, Jake and I just did an episode, it's not yet released, and we start talking about this kind of thing where, you know, you're in that that self-dialogue, and you start to try to work your way back to reality. But you have one dialogue, you get slapped around a little bit, now you have another dialogue. And then you have accountability and all these other dialogues and the spider web of things that happens. So it sounds like people that are in that situation could learn a lot from these stories. How many stories do you think are in this book, man?
24 chapters, 24 stories. And that's what's critical about the book. And that's not an understatement. Most books, right? And this is not a complaint, just an observation. Most books, men or women, have a significant event in their life, a life-changing event, and that's what their book is about, right? Could be a New York Times bestseller, could be a market leader. This book has 24 chapters that each chapter is a keynote. Could be a podcast on its own, each chapter.
Well, something to think about, or a, you know, some sort of coaching lesson. I know you're not a coach, but you're a speaker and obviously an author. So who knows where the future holds, right?
Yep. Oh, for sure. And again, when we say I'm not a coach, I'm not a coach in the literal sense of where I, you know, contract out my services. I've done that before, but in a different way. There was a period of time in my life for 4 years that I worked with companies that were in distress, nearing bankruptcy, where banks were getting ready to come in and seize their assets. And I was one of the phone calls to come in as a business person to see if there was something to salvage, you know, the employees, the company, the business, the assets. And I have found that in my life, and this is what I try to do, is that I am a coach in the sense that when my neighbor needs help, I want to go sit down with my neighbor and I want to find out how I can help them. If it's a colleague, I want to sit down with that colleague and how can I leverage and use my experience with individuals? This is, again, nothing against being a full-time coach, but how can I leverage this experience with a business or an individual, a neighbor, a family member, and be humble and be vulnerable if necessary and be honest, be transparent to support them, because these issues are real in our world that we live in today. You know, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. We're more connected than we've ever been in the world, and we're more disconnected than ever. And I find that connection when I sit down with people and talk about sacrifice and being resilient. You know, that's what I really aspire to do through this book, through my public speaking, through the article that's published in the newspaper, through my LinkedIn articles that I publish. And I'm getting a lot of DMs from people. Hell, I had a podcaster just 2 days ago after we stopped recording. He said, hey, he goes, would you mind if I give you a call? Because some of the things you're describing, that's exactly where I am. I'd like to talk to you about it. I said, you got my cell phone number. Give me a call, brother.
Nice. So teach me something here, man. All right. Teach me something. First, let's, before we go into this education piece, I'd like to keep everybody hanging for a second. Where do I get this book, man? We've been talking about it. Where do I find your newspaper articles? Where do I find you? We're going to say this again at the end, but it just dawned on me. We've been talking a minute. And
Understood.
where do we find it?
So the easiest thing to do, well, first of all, the book launches on May the 14th, Thursday, May the 14th. It will be live and alive. But the easiest way to do that is to check in on my website. It's scottlackey.com. It's my name.com, scottlackey.com. So that's when it launches, and there'll be an ebook, audiobook, and of course the printed version on May the 14th. So very excited about that. That was the first one. The what was your second question?
Oh, well, teach me something here, right? Like, give me a t like I'm somebody who, you know, just got some, you know, bad news. Somebody stole from me, or I got, what's the first step? Everyone's different, but what's Scott Lackey's first step in turning it around? Bad news, phone hangs up, door shuts, person walks out of the room, whatever the news is, right? What's Scott Lackey's first 3 to 5 steps or first step?
I like the first step question. And the first step question is I do the opposite of what the world teaches you to do. Let's talk about what the world teaches you to do. You've been fired. You've been given a diagnosis. Your wife has said, or your husband has said, I want a divorce. Someone's discovered something about you that you thought you hid really well, right? Let's just keep that list going on. Okay, everybody's got a list. Some people are better at hiding it than others. So you take that thing that you're thinking about, Mr. and Mrs. Listener, and you get caught. The first thing the world tells you to do is you start the blame game. Well, it was because of this, and they said, and they lied, and they, whatever it is, you're going to turn that around and you're going to blame it on everything but yourself. And by the way, you may have been wronged, i.e. Scott Lackey, $3 million, stole my company and fired me, okay? But you think I was innocent in that equation, right? Was I not a contributor potentially to why I got fired?
Right. Yeah. Did you not check your paperwork? Did you not know this before? Right. Like, there's a coulda, woulda, shoulda checklist.
There's a coulda, woulda, shoulda there. Right. So where I'm going with this is the world wants you to blame everybody else because it's not your fault. And what I'm going to tell you is, hey, maybe it's not your fault, but I'm going to tell you it's irrelevant. So lesson number one is you need to look in that mirror and you need to have an honest, transparent, factual dialogue with yourself about what the hell just happened. And you need to lay it out in its ugliness of what just happened. And you need to admit to yourself your contribution to the problem, right? There's a saying that I have in one of my chapters, and I can't remember, I need to memorize who said this, but in essence it was, I once went out because I was going to change the world. And then I became wise and decided to change myself. And that is my first step to everything. Everything is to stop and look inside and talk about my contribution and what am I going to do to fix that, right? Not blaming other people. I am anti-blame other people. As a matter of fact, I go to the other extreme and I take absolute responsibility is what I do. Even that $3 million deal that blew up, it didn't happen the day after. The day after, rage set in, anger set in. But in time, when I look back, I took for myself absolute personal responsibility for that event happening. And when I did that, step number two, I was free. Okay? When you're willing to take responsibility in extreme measures internally, you will be free from the cage that could hold you for a lifetime. That's two quick lessons.
Well, I know people struggle with taking action, and that is the easiest thing to do. Go into a mirror, have a conversation with yourself, get real with the situation, lay it all out, and, you know, begin there.
And I want to add to that too, because when you go there, the world, what's the third thing the world likes to tell you to do? You need to do more. You need to add, right? You need this system. You need that software. You need this laptop. You need this suit, this car, this house, this job, something. You got to add something, right? You need to run more. You need to work out more. You need to eat less. Whatever it is, it's an additive process. That's what the world tells you. What I'm going to tell you is when these events happen in your life, it's not about addition. It's about subtraction. It's about what you need to stop doing. Matter of fact, I'll say to you that the very thing that you're running from right now, that little scare that you have in your brain that you wake up and run from every day, the sooner you turn around and face it and address it, you'll take the power away from it.
That's powerful, man. Thank you. And I believe these lessons will be echoed throughout the entire book without actually maybe even being lessons. You know, again, I haven't read the book yet. It's not out. But that's powerful for people. And I often find that, you know, what you just described is low tech, low cost, low time. I mean, it could be a lot of time depending on how somebody processes things. No judgment if it is or isn't, right? Nobody makes anything that you hear famous people say you can change in a moment, but you can make a decision to change in a moment. It takes a little bit to actually implement that. But what you're saying, man, is powerful words. And I think people should hold on to those things because there's a lot of that going on right now. There's a lot of reactive behavior. There's a lot of triggering. There's a lot of blaming. There's a lot of just tension. And if everybody just took two back, looked in the mirror, identified some of the things that are bothering them, they're going to figure out, let me take responsibility for the things that are triggering me. I'm not going to push the blame. So anyway, one more time, Scott, you know, I wish we had all day, but we're closing in on the clock. I want to make sure, thank you so much for this interview. It was amazing. How do people get a hold of you again?
ScottLackey.com. That's the easiest place, where you can find me on LinkedIn. And I hope we connect, especially when it comes to launching the book. I really want to encourage everyone. This is a book that can have a meaningful impact on helping you achieve some breakthroughs in your life if you're willing to make the investment and read it. It's not the 7 steps to get everything you want, but there's a trail there.
Awesome. Scott Lackey, thank you so much for your time, man. It was awesome.
Michael, thank you a million.
All right. My name is Michael Liberci. On behalf of Jay Clendenning, you were just live on Total Disruption. Scott Lackey, we'll see you soon. Good luck on your book. Let's disrupt.